That's Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Aryan Narrations. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and today's narration is the third one from Nennius's History of the Britons. After the death of Vortimer, Hengist, being strengthened by new accessions, collected his ships and, calling his leaders together, consulted by what stratagem they might overcome Vortigern and his army. With insidious intention, they sent messengers to the king with offers of peace and perpetual friendship. Unsuspicious of treachery, the monarch, after advising with his elders, accepted the proposals. Hengist, under pretense of ratifying the treaty, prepared an entertainment, to which he invited the king, the nobles, and military officers, in number about 300. Speciously concealing his wicked intention, he ordered 300 Saxons to conceal each a knife under his feet, and to mix with the Britons. "And when," said he, "they are sufficiently inebriated, and I cry out, 'Nimed jur Saxes,' then let each draw his knife and kill his man. But spare the king, on account of his marriage with my daughter, for it is better that he should be ransomed than killed." The king, with his company, appeared at the feast, and mixing with the Saxons, who, whilst they spoke peace with their tongues, cherished treachery in their hearts, each man was placed next to his enemy. After they had eaten and drunk, and were much intoxicated, Hengist suddenly vociferated, "Nimet ur Saxes!" And instantly his adherents drew their knives, and rushing upon the Britons, each slew him that sat next to him, and there were slain 300 of the nobles of Vortigern. The king, being a captive, purchased his redemption by delivering up the 3 provinces of East, South, and Middlesex, besides other districts, at the option of his betrayers. Saint Germanus admonished Vortigern to turn to the true God and abstain from all unlawful intercourse with his daughter, but the unhappy wretch fled for refuge to the province Guartigernum, so called from his own name, where he concealed himself with his wives. But Saint Germanus followed him with all the British clergy, and upon a rock prayed for his sins during 40 days and 40 nights. The blessed man was unanimously chosen commander against the Saxons, and then, not by the clang of trumpets, but by praying, singing hallelujah, and by the cries of the army to God, the enemies were routed and driven even to the sea. Again, Vortigern ignominiously flew from St. Germanus to the kingdom of the Domitiae, where, on the river Tawy, he built a castle, which he named Car Guathigern. The saint, as usual, followed him there, and with his clergy fasted and prayed to the Lord 3 days and as many nights. On the third night, at the third hour, fire fell suddenly from heaven and totally burned the castle. Vortigern, the daughter of Hengist, his other wives, and all the inhabitants, both men and women, miserably perished. Such was the end of this unhappy king, as we find written in the life of Saint Germanus. Others assure us that, being hated by all the people of Britain for having received the Saxons, and being publicly charged by Saint Germanus and the clergy in the sight of God, he betook himself to flight, and that, deserted and a wanderer, he sought a place of refuge, till, broken-hearted, he made an ignominious end. Some accounts state that the earth opened and swallowed him up on the night his castle was burned, as no remains were discovered the following morning, either of him or of those who were burned with him. He had three sons. The eldest was Vortimer, who, as we have seen, fought four times against the Saxons and put them to flight. The second, Catigern, who was slain in the same battle with Horsa. The third was Pascent, who reigned in the two provinces, Wealth and Guertigernium, after the death of his father. These were granted him by Ambrosius, who was the great king among the kings of Britain. The fourth was Faustus, born of an incestuous marriage with his daughter, who was brought up and educated by Saint Germanus. He built a large monastery on the banks of the river Rhinus, called after his name, and which remains to the present period. This is the genealogy of Vortigern, which goes back to Fernvale, who reigned in the kingdom of Guertigernium, and was the son of Tudor. Tudor was the son of Pascent, Pascent of Guidicant, Guidicant of Moriad, Moriad of Eltat, Eltat of Eldoc, Eldoc of Paul, Paul of Meuprit, Meuprit of Brachiat, Brachiat of Pascent, Pascent of Guertigern, Guertigern of Guertinew, Guertinew of Guitol, Guitol of Guitolian, Guitolian of Glui, Bonus, Paul, Moron, Guatelin were four brothers who built Gleeda, a great city on the banks of the River Severn, and in British is called Carglui, in Saxon, Gloucester. Enough has been said of Vortigern. Saint Germanus, after his death, returned into his own country. At that time, the Saxons greatly increased in Britain, both in strength and numbers, and Octa, after the death of his father Hengist, came from the sinistral part of the island to the kingdom of Kent, and from him have proceeded all the kings of that province to the present period. Then it was that the magnanimous Arthur, with all the kings and military force of Britain, fought against the Saxons, and though there were many more noble than himself, yet he was 12 times chosen their commander, and was as often conqueror. The first battle in which he was engaged was at the mouth of the river Glenny. The second, third, fourth, and fifth were on another river, by the Britons called Douglas, in the region Linui. The sixth on the river Bassus, the seventh in the wood Celidon, which the Britons call Catcoit Celidon. The eighth was near Gurnion Castle, where Arthur bore the image of the Holy Virgin, Mother of God, upon his shoulders, and through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Mary, put the Saxons to flight, and pursued them the whole day with great slaughter. The ninth was at the city of Legion, which is called Carleon. The tenth was on the banks of the river Trat Truroit. The seventh was on the mountain Breguin, which we call Cat Bregion. The 12th was a most severe contest, when Arthur penetrated to the hill of Badon. In this engagement, 940 fell by his hand alone, no one but the Lord affording him assistance. In all these engagements the Britons were successful, for no strength can avail against the will of the Almighty. The more the Saxons were vanquished, the more they sought for new supplies of Saxons from Germany, so that kings, commanders, and military bands were invited over from almost every province, and this practice they continued till the reign of Ida, who was the son of Eoppa. He, of the Saxon race, was the first king in Bernicia and in Carve Rock, York. When Gratian Aquantius was consul at Rome, because then the whole world was governed by the Roman consuls, the Saxons were received by Vortigern in the year of our Lord 447, and to the year in which we now write, 547. And whosoever shall read herein may receive instruction, the Lord Jesus Christ affording assistance, who, co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Ghost, lives and reigns for ever and ever. Amen. In those days, Saint Patrick was captive among the Scots. His master's name was Milcho, to whom he was a swineherd for 7 years. When he had attained the age of 17, he gave him his liberty. By the divine impulse, he applied himself to reading of the scriptures, and afterwards went to Rome, where, replenished with the Holy Spirit, he continued a great while, studying the sacred mysteries of those writings. During his continuance there, Palladius, the first bishop, was sent by Pope Celestine to convert the Scots, the Irish. But tempests and signs from God prevented his landing, for no one can arrive in any country except it be allowed from above. Altering, therefore, his course from Ireland, he came to Britain and died in the land of the Picts. The death of Palladius being known, the Roman patricians, Theodosius and Valentinian, then reigning, Pope Celestine sent Patrick to convert the Scots to the faith of the Holy Trinity. Victor, the angel of God, accompanying, admonishing and assisting him, and also the bishop Germanus. Germanus then sent the ancient Sergerus with him, as a venerable and praiseworthy bishop, to King Amathias, who lived near, and who had prescience of what was to happen. He was consecrated bishop in the reign of that king, by the holy pontiff, assuming the name of Patrick, having hitherto been known by that of Morn. Auxilius, Isoninus, and other brothers were ordained with him to inferior degrees. Having distributed benedictions and perfected all in the name of the Holy Trinity, he embarked on the sea which is between the Gauls and the Britons, and after a quick passage arrived in Britain, where he preached for some time, every necessary preparation being made, and the angel giving him warning, he came to the Irish Sea, and having filled the ship with foreign gifts and spiritual treasures, by the permission of God, he arrived in Ireland, where he baptized and preached. From the beginning of the world to the 5th year of King Logior, when the Irish were baptized and faith in the unity of the individual Trinity was published to them, are 5,330 years. Saint Patrick taught the gospel in foreign nations for the space of 40 years. Endued with apostolical powers, he gave sight to the blind, cleansed the lepers, gave hearing to the deaf, cast out devils, raised 9 from the dead, redeemed many captives of both sexes at his own charge, and set them free in the name of the Holy Trinity. He taught the servants of God, and he wrote 365 canonical and other books relating to the Catholic faith. He founded as many churches and consecrated the same number of bishops, strengthening them with the Holy Ghost. He ordained 3,000 presbyters and converted and baptized 12,000 persons in the province of Connaught, and in one day baptized 7 kings, who were the 7 sons of Amalgaid. He continued fasting 40 days and nights on the summit of the mountain Eli, and preferred 3 petitions to God for the Irish that had embraced the faith. The Scots say, the first was, that he would receive every repenting sinner, even at the last extremity of life. The second, that they should never be exterminated by barbarians. And the third, that as Ireland will be overflowed with water, 7 years before the coming of our Lord to judge the quick and the dead, the crimes of the people might be washed away through his intercession, and their souls purified at the last day. He gave the people his benediction from the upper part of the mountain, and going up higher, that he might pray for them, and that if it pleased God, he might see the effects of his labours, there appeared to him an innumerable flock of birds of many colours, signifying the number of holy persons of both sexes of the Irish nation, who should come to him as their apostle at the day of judgment, to be presented before the tribunal of Christ. After a life spent in the active exertion of good to mankind, Saint Patrick, in a healthy old age, passed from this world to the Lord, and changing this life for a better, with the saints and elect of God, he rejoices forevermore. Saint Patrick resembled Moses in four particulars. The angels spoke to him in the burning bush. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights upon the mountain. He attained the period of 120 years. No one knows his sepulchre, nor where he was buried. 16 years he was in captivity. In his 25th year, he was consecrated bishop by Saint Matthias, and he was 85 years the apostle of the Irish. It might be profitable to treat more at large of the life of this saint, but it is now time to conclude this epitome of his labours. And now we come to some genealogies, and we have the genealogy of the kings of Bernicia, which begin with Woden and end up with Oswy, who begat Alfred, Elfwin, and Egfrid. Egfrid is he who made war against his cousin Brudai, king of the Picts, and he fell therein with all the strength of his army, and the Picts with their king gained the victory, and the Saxons never again reduced the Picts so as to exact tribute from them. Since the time of this war, it is called Gwethelyn Garan. And Ozzy had two wives, Rhymelth, the daughter of Roith, son of Rhum, and Eanfled, the daughter of Edwin, son of Alla. Now we have the genealogy of the kings of Kent. Hengist begat Octa, who begat Ossa, who begat Eormenric, who begat Ethelbert, who begat Eadbald, who begat Ercombert, who begat Egbert. The origin of the kings of East Anglia. Woden begat Cassa, who begat Titinon, who begat Trigal, who begat Rodmont, who begat Ripper, who begat Gwilym Gwersha, who was the first king of the East Angles. Gwersha begat Uffa, who begat Titilus, who begat Eni, who begat Edric, who begat Alderwolf, who begat Elric. The genealogy of the Mercians. Woden begat Guidolgeet, who begat Guigon, who begat Gwethleg, who begat Gwerdamund, who begat Ossa, who begat Ongen, who begat Ema, who begat Pubba. This Pubba had 12 sons, of whom 2 are better known to me than the others. That is, Pendar and Eawar. Eadlit is the son of Panther, Pendar, son of Pubba, Eadbald, son of Alguing, son of Eawar, son of Pendar, son of Pubba, Egfert, son of Offa, son of Thingiferth, son of Enwulf, son of Usulf, son of Eawar, son of Pubba. The kings of the Dara. Woden begat Beldeg, Brond begat Sigar, who begat Sibbald, who begat Zedulf, who begat Somil, who first separated Dara from Bernicia. Somil begat Squirthing, who begat Gwilglis, who begat Ulfria, who begat Iffi, who begat Uli, Edwin, Osfrid, and Eanfrid. There were 2 sons of Edwin, who fell with him in battle at Mercia, and the kingdom was never renewed in his family, because not one of his race escaped from that war, but all were slain with him by the army of Cat Gwalanus. Cat Gwalanus, king of the Gwynedotia. Ozzy begat Egfrid, the same is Aelgwyn, who begat Oslac. She begat Alhun, who begat Adsling, who begat Echun, who begat Oslaf. Ida begat Eadric, who begat Eggulf, who begat Leodwald, who begat Eata, the same is Glynmawr, who begat Edibert and Egbert, who was the first bishop of their nation. Then, Ida, the son of Eoppa, possessed countries on the left-hand side of Britain, the Humbrian Sea, and reigned 12 years, and united Dinguath, Guath, Bernich. Then Dutgern at that time fought bravely against the nation of the Angles. At that time, Talhaeum Cataguen was famed for poetry, and Nerin and Taliesin, and Blochbard and Cian, who is called Gwyneth Guart, were all famous at the same time in British poetry. The great king Maelgwn reigned among the Britons, i.e. in the district of Gwynedotia, because his great-great-grandfather, Cuneda, with his 12 sons, had come before from the left-hand part, i.e. from the country, which is called Manaw Gustodin, 146 years before Maelgwn reigned, and expelled the Scots with much slaughter from those countries, and they never returned again to inhabit them. Adda, son of Ida, reigned 8 years. Ethelric, son of Adda, reigned 4 years. Theodoric, son of Ida, reigned 7 years. Freothwulf reigned 6 years, in whose time the kingdom of Kent, by the mission of Gregory, received baptism. Hussa reigned 7 years. Against him fought 4 kings, Urien and Eriderthun and Cuillac and Morcant. Theodoric fought bravely, together with his sons, against that Urien. But at that time, sometimes, the enemy and sometimes our countrymen were defeated, and he shut them up 3 days and 3 nights in the island of Metcaut, and whilst he was on an expedition, he was murdered at the instance of Morcant, out of envy, because he possessed so much superiority over all the kings in military science. Eadfarid Flesaurs reigned 12 years in Bernicia, and 12 others in Deira, and gave to his wife Beba the town of Dingoroy, which from her is called Bebanburg. Edwin, son of Alla, reigned 17 years, seized on Elmete, and expelled Curdic, its king. Eanfleed, his daughter, received baptism on the 12th day after Pentecost, with all her followers, both men and women. The following Easter, Edwin himself received baptism, and 12,000 of his subjects with him. If anyone wishes to know who baptized them, it was Rummap Urbgen. He was engaged 40 days in baptizing all classes of the Saxons, and by his preaching many believed on Christ. Oswald, son of Ethelfrith, reigned 9 years. The same is Oswald Laoguin. He slew Cadwalla, king of the Gwynedotii, in the Battle of Catskull, with much loss to his own army. Ozzy, son of Ethelfrid, reigned 28 years and 6 months. During his reign, there was a dreadful mortality among his subjects when Cadwalder was king among the Britons, succeeding his father, and he himself died among the rest. He slew Pendar in the field of Guy, and now took place the slaughter of Guy Campi and the kings of the Britons, who went out with Pendar on the expedition, as far as the city of Judo, were slain. Then Ozzy restored all the wealth which was with him in the city to Pendar, who distributed it among the kings of the Britons, that is Atbert Judo, with Catgabail alone, king of the Gwynedotii, rising up in the night, escaped together with his army, wherefore he was called Catgabael Catgamod. Egfrid, son of Ozzy, reigned 9 years. In his time, the holy bishop Cuthbert died in the island of Medcaut. It was he who made war against the Picts, and was by them slain. Pendar, son of Pebba, reigned 10 years. He first separated the kingdom of Mercia from that of the Northmen, and slew by treachery Anna, king of the East Anglians, and St. Oswald, king of the Northmen. He fought the Battle of Cockboy, in which fell Iawa, son of Pebba, his brother, king of the Mercians, and Oswald, king of the Northmen, and he gained the victory by diabolical agency. He was not baptized, and never believed in God. From the beginning of the world to Constantinus and Rufus are found to be 5,658 years. Also, from the two consuls, Rufus and Rubellius, to the consul Stilicho are 373 years. Also, from Stilicho to Valentinian, son of Placida, and the reign of Vortigern are 28 years. And from the reign of Vortigern to the quarrel between Guitolinus and Ambrosius are 12 years, which is Gwlypum, that is Catgwalf, perhaps the town now called Cydwelly. Vortigern reigned in Britain when Theodosius and Valentinian were consuls, and in the fourth year of his reign, the Saxons came to Britain, in the consulship of Felix and Taurus, in the 400th year from the incarnation of our Lord, Jesus Christ. From the year in which the Saxons came to Britain, and were received by Vortigern, to the time of Decius and Valerian, are 69 years. And here endeth the history of the Britons by Nennius.